12 and verse number 4 we'll look at. We're going to break down some categories of the gifts of the Spirit this week. I'm giving more of an Independent Baptist view of the gifts. There's many different views of the gifts, so I'm taking this from some books, Brother Randy Starr's book, and also some of Brother Cloud's, and then trying to make some application from a specific gift. Let me break down the gifts a little bit. We've been teaching about the importance of us working as a unit in the Spirit and how the Spirit gifts different people. We see three different, there's a couple ways we can dissect these gifts. One way is by talking about motivation gifts, ministry gifts, and manifestation gifts. So the motivation gifts, we find the gifts of mercy, prophecy, exhortation, giving, and ruling in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we need you. God, as I teach, will you just use this to help us understand deeper what you have for us and what your will is to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to also Romans chapter 12, and we'll look at this. Of course, we know that gifts are manifestations of the unmerited or undeserving favor of God that is placed upon us. They're not just merely talents, but they're actually something God has given to us to work inside the local assembly of like-minded believers, also known as His body, on this earth, Him being the head, and working out His will in and through us in this independent church that He bled and died for. Body also can sometimes illustrate the Christendom as a whole, but we'll look at it most definitely in this practical sense of the church itself. And I'm talking about the local assembly of like-minded believers. I'm not talking about a universal invisible body. I'm talking about it in a local sense. So Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that soweth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good." Ministry gifts. Besides motivational gifts, there are also ministry gifts described in the Scripture. They include apostles, prophets, or prophesying, teachers, evangelists, pastors, miracles, healings, helps, governments, tongues, and interpretations of those tongues. All right. 1 Corinthians 12:5 and says, "And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord." 1 Corinthians 12:27. "Now ye are the body of Christ, and the members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gift of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Ephesians 4:11. is also another listing that we can look at. In Ephesians 4:11, we read, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. I also have manifestation gifts. Certain gifts of the Spirit are identified as manifestation gifts. These would include the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, discerning of spirits, as well as several mentioned before: healing, miracles, prophesying in tongues. You can find these in 1 Corinthians 12:6 through 11. Now if you go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 with me, please. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. Here we read, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, a good steward of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So another division from the scriptures that we can see are spoken gifts and servant gifts. Spoken gifts and service gifts. Okay? So we see the spoken gifts as apostles, prophets, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, tongues, interpretation of tongues, pastors, authority, teachers, instructors, exhorters, encouragement, and evangelist or evangelism or outreach. Okay? So what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about different ministries within the church and different people that are gifted by the Spirit for different ministries within the church. Why? So that our body can be a body that works together, where we don't have one member that's trying to do everything within the church. And that's for Bethel Baptist Church. Pastor James is not going to do everything. He's not gifted to do everything. He needs the people of Bethel Baptist Church that are members to pray to the Lord and let the Lord lead them through the Holy Spirit on what the Holy Spirit would have them do in this church, right? We all don't have the same gifting, but we all should work as one in unity. Diversity within the body. Not everybody looking like me, not everybody acting like me, not me beating robots. That's what you call a cult. All right? We're not a cult here. We're different, but we're in unity. Different giftings, but unified in our purpose of following the Holy Spirit as we study the Word of God. That means that we as a church have to be studying the Word of God. It also means we need to be praying as a church through the Word of God, that He might manifest to us or open our eyes to where He would have us fit within the body. Service gifts are important. So all I want to do is I want to talk about apostles tonight. I did a big study on this, and I want to just share some things about apostles. And he gave some apostles. So this is Jesus Christ. After he led captivity captive, he gave blessings unto men. And what were the blessings? Well, the blessings were to his church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, for the edifying of the church, for the perfecting of the saints, that we might stand perfect in our privileged position within Christ. Okay? So as we look at this, we want to look at apostles tonight. Now, Ephesians 2:20 shows us what the apostles did. Ephesians 2:20. Ephesians 2:20 says, and are built upon the foundation, speaking of the body of Christ, speaking about the church, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And I speak specifically, this is talking about the prophets of the Old Testament that wrote us the Old Testament, and also the apostles in two ways, both in their ministering of writing down, inspired by the Holy Spirit himself, the very words of God for us to read today, and also in those early church days in a local sense. They had, in Acts we see two different apostles, church settings where they're coming together and they're giving direction for the church of that day. All right? So what does apostles mean? Apostle means one sent forth, an ambassador. The apostle of Acts were the disciples of the gospel. The difference was that now these followers were set forth. Of course, Judas Iscariot was a disciple, but was replaced in the apostles by Matthias, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 26. Acts 1:26 says, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Several other men were called apostles of the New Testament, including Paul and Barnabas in Acts 14:14, which then the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of. They rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. Now, Spiritus Zodiatis helps us understand some characteristics of an apostle. First, the Lord chose the term apostolai to indicate the distinct relationship of the 12 apostles whom he chose to be witnesses. The word was seldom used. We see in Luke chapter 6, verse 13, this word being used. Luke 6:13. Sometimes when I have this much scripture, I should just print out my sermons. We might do that. Luke 6:13 says, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So from the disciples that are following Christ, he's choosing out 12 specific to be the apostles. Acts 1:2 tells us, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. In Acts 1:26, and gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and was numbered with the 11 apostles. Therefore, it designates the office as instituted by Christ to witness of him before the world. So what was their job? Their job was to witness to the world about Jesus Christ. That was their main job. John 17, verse 18 gives us that fact as it says, and thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. The word sent comes from the same Greek word that is translate apostle. Okay? So Jesus Christ is sending them out to minister and tell the world about him, that he is the Messiah. Secondly, it also designates the authority which those called to the office possess. Romans 10:15. We'll go back to some of these scriptures, so just let me quote them for now, and then we'll break them down later on in the sermon. And now shall they preach except they, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Again, the same word translated apostle. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings, bring glad tidings of good things. Paul combines both these meanings in Romans 11:13. For I speak to you Gentiles insomuch that as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. All right, so he's called to be an ambassador, but he's also in the office of an apostle. Now, also, it is a distinct name of the 12 apostles. Originally, Paul himself was reckoned also in this count, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 7 and 9. In the Bible days, however, the denomination seems from the very beginning to have been applied in a much wider sense to all who ministered as colleagues of the 12 and bore witness of Christ. In Acts 14, 4 through 14, we're going to go through these later on in the service and look at these. Romans 6, 7 and 2 Corinthians 11, 13. This general meaning of the word held its place alongside its special and distinct application. So what am I saying? The main thing that the apostles were to do, their main ministry was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he was the Messiah. And it seems like in the New Testament that the office of the apostle were held by the 12, and those that went directly were the 12 were also called apostles too. Now, we have to be very careful about how we define some of this stuff and what we believe apostles are and who is and isn't an apostle. There's people that are apostles of Satan, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, right? We'll look at that later on tonight too. So, because of this, we must beware of those who claim to be apostles. So here's some guidelines of what apostles are. First, they were chosen personally by Christ. They were chosen personally by Christ. Galatians 1:1. Galatians 1:1 says here, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. All right, so what is this? They were chosen personally by Christ, either by the Luke passage in the Gospels, Christ specifically choosing them out, or Christ choosing out the Apostle Paul in later time. Their office, except for Judas, doesn't seem ever to be passed on to another. Why do I say that? Revelations 21, verse 14. Revelations 21, verse 14. And the walls of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay, so the office of apostles seems to be, according to eternity, set at the number 12. All right? I'm not saying the spirit or the ministry of an apostle. I'm saying the chosen out by Jesus Christ on his earthly ministry and also after his earthly ministry, because I believe Paul, according to the Holy Spirit, was called to be an apostle. So is Matthias' name or Paul's name going to be on the foundations in heaven? We'll see when we get up there. Amen? We'll see when we get up there. Are you sure you're going? Yeah. So, they had seen the resurrected Christ. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 22. Now, on Wednesday, I do a lot more teaching than on Sunday. So we're teaching tonight, and we're giving biblical identifications of some of the points. Well, hopefully all the points, or why call it preaching? You're just proclaiming the word of God when you preach. Acts 1:22 says, beginning with the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us to his resurrection. Now this is in context of them choosing out Matthias. So they had to be a witness with us of his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 9:1. 1 Corinthians 9:1. First Corinthians 9:1. says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? What did he see? Paul saw Jesus Christ his Lord. Let's go to chapter 15 of the same book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. Speaking of Jesus Christ's resurrection. And who saw it? After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So if somebody claims to be an apostle, he has to have seen the resurrected Christ. Right? I'm just giving you the rules of what an apostle looks like. He has to have seen the resurrected Christ. The apostles received their message by direct revelation from God rather than being taught by man. This is another very important point. So if somebody says, I'm an apostle, they're claiming that they have direct revelation from God rather than being taught of man. That's pretty easy to see in the first 11. Who taught them for 3.5 years? Well, Jesus Christ did. Galatians 1:11 through 12 says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which I preach of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul claiming to be apostle. Why did he claim to be apostle? Because he was taught by revelation by Jesus Christ himself. It could have been, well, we don't know. So there's no use speculating. Fifth, the apostle had the same authority as an Old Testament prophet. Peter equates the word of the prophets of the Old Testament with the commandments of the apostle of the New Testament. He says in the same breath that just as we ought to listen to Old Testament prophets, we ought to listen to the New Testament apostles. 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 2. Second Peter 3:2 says that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. I got to stop here. The only commandment I have a right to give you is found in the scriptures. I can't make my opinion your commandment, okay? So if I make a direct command towards you, it has to be from Scripture, not from opinion. All right? And you say, Pastor, you should preach harder on sin. Well, the problem is, if the Scripture says it, I'll preach on it. And I'll preach with authority on it. If it doesn't, then I'm going to be quiet about the issue. And you can call that cowardly. I don't want to say something the Bible doesn't say. And give you a burden that the Bible doesn't give you. Who is known for doing that? Heaping burdens on the people. The Pharisees, right? They heaped burdens by their many commandments on the people of God. You are God's people. God loves you. So therefore, I have no right to give you revelatory prophecy. What does that mean? God told me. If I say, God told me, and I don't give you a scripture right after that, then God didn't tell me. Pizza told me. Okay? Pizza late at night told me. No. God told us all we need to know, and it's written in his scripture. Isn't that pretty clear? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction and righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if a pastor gets up and his sermon isn't filled with scripture, it's probably best to take wisdom, be gracious and loving, but say, man, I wish you'd give more scripture. The apostles, while they were forming scripture, while God was using the apostle through the power of the Holy Spirit to form scripture, we needed them to tell us what God's thoughts on areas. Why? Because we did not have the scripture. Now, what does a Christian need? All a Christian needs is the scripture. God also gave them special signs to authenticate their message. Acts 2:43 says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Acts 4:3, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them." Acts 5:12, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." What does this mean? Well, we'll break down signs, wonders, and powers later on in our study. But for now, they did supernatural works through the power of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about a Benny Hinn crusade. I'm not talking about me taking off my suit jacket and hitting you and y'all. Ah! That's some demon stuff. That's not scriptural. 2 Corinthians 12:12 says, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." So what is this saying? In Acts chapter 17 and 18, when Paul goes to Corinth, what else accompanied him? In their sight, they saw Paul do signs and wonders and mighty deeds, casting out devils, healing. Now, when he healed somebody that had lost their eye, like, they got a brand new eye. Do people understand that? When he healed somebody that had a broken or paralytics in them, they were completely healed. They didn't have to be taught how to walk. They got up immediately and jumped and leaped and praised the Lord. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen today. What I am saying is what you see on TV is not what is happening in the apostles' time. Okay? Not willing to... God does miracles. I'm not willing to give up miracles, okay, guys? I still believe in miracles, right? But we have to make a distinction between the apostles and miracles and what are happening today, I think. I could be wrong. I'm just saying there's so much fakeness. We've got to be very wise in what we declare to be signs of an apostle. Number 7. The 12 men were chosen by Christ to lay the foundation of the church. We already read that in Ephesians 2:20. Once a foundation is laid, do you have to lay it again? Could you imagine if I said, guys, you know, my house was built in 19, I can't remember. I think it was the late 60s. You know what? I got to lay my foundation again. You say, man, Pastor James, there's problems with your house if you have to lay it again. Well, if Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of the church and the apostles are laying on this, let me say, that's a foundation that's never going to give in. And once it's laid, it's laid. You don't have to relay the foundations of the church anymore because they've already been laid by the 12 apostles. We also see that they could impart spiritual powers and gifts to others. Acts 8:17 through 19. "Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on the prophets, the of the apostles' hands on the whole, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, and whosoever I lay hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Of course, he was rebuked for that. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So Paul obviously transferred something to Timothy when he put on his hands upon him, stirring up that unmerited gift that was given to him by the Apostle Paul. Look, guys, part of me wishes that this was really happening today. All right? I'm not a guy that is happy about... I think we have all we need in the Word of God, but I'm also kind of an emotional person, and I would love somebody to put his hand on me and I'd be able to speak all the different languages just in this church. And then speak them and everybody understand everything I was saying. Man, that would be amazing. And the more you work with different languages, the more you realize, man, it's just a bunch of hard work, right? and as we look at this and as we preach this, man, I wish we could have this. But I am very leery of what is being represented in Christendom when it comes to the gift of the apostles. They wrote scripture. They wrote scripture. 2 Peter 3:15 through 16, an account that the long-suffering our Lord and salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom giveth unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So what was Paul writing as the apostle? Scriptures. The other apostles and those few that they laid hands on, like Mark, were writing scripture. Right? So we have to remember all this as we're studying this. So there needs to be some conclusions that must be made in light of biblical teaching when it comes to the office of the apostle. First of all, we still believe that God can do and does do great miracles. Later in our study, we'll look at what wonders, signs, and miracles specifically means in light of Scripture. But for now, I would like to definitely say that we need to see God's powerful, mighty hand of primarily spiritual healing, but also secondarily in the physical realm. There's going to be a time, and we see it today, that demonic influences within Canada are getting bolder and bolder, right? We're going to need some people that are gifted in casting out demons one day, possibly, in Bethel. All right? For sure. And some of our friends from the less Christian nations can attest to that. We're going to need some gifted people in that area, I believe, in the future, if God tarries his coming. Are there apostles in this special sense today? For the following reasons, we know that they're not apostles today in the same sense as the 12 chosen by Christ in the early church. Okay? So I'm talking specifically about the apostles that were chosen. Now, is there a spirit of the apostles that has been given? We'll look at that later. But you can't add to 12. One, no one today qualifies to be such an apostle. Right? Why? Because Revelation chapter 21 says the foundations of heaven have 12 names on them, right? Of the 12 apostles. The The first apostles were called to lay the foundation of the church. The foundation has been laid on the church. You can't relay the foundation of the church once it's been laid. So, the question then becomes, what are we to think about those who are called apostles but not part of the distinct 12? Right? What are we to think about that? Acts 14, verse 14. Let's go there. Acts 14, verse 14. And this is very clear. Which, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out. Romans 16, 17, we'll get to later. But let's look at this. Let's look at some ways that the office of the apostle teaches us some practical truths about Christianity. Now, concerning specifically Acts 14, 14, let's look at the context in which it's given. Acts 14, verse 8 through 13. Simply, apostles can mean sent forth or ambassadors. And in this sense, I think there are people that are specifically sent forth in a special way by God. And I have no problem with that in that sense, saying they are ambassadors. I would prefer not using the word apostles, but apostle means sent forth, ambassadors. So is there a office that one can be sent forth in? Well, let's look at the context and the characteristics of those that are sent forth by God and ambassadors for God. Acts 14, 8 through 13. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying in the speech of the Lycaonians, "The gods are come down to us in likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gate and would have done sacrifice with the people. Now notice, before Lystra, Paul and Barnabas are in Iconium. Look at their message before we get to how they respond in Acts 14, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together in the synagogues of the Jews and spake a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greek believers. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hand. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonium, and to the region that lieth around about, and there they preached the gospel. So these signs and wonders accompanied their message of Jesus Christ. Here's what's very important for us to realize. In the day and age that we live in, people, through the Holy Spirit's power in our messages, something supernatural has to happen through the messages that we preach in the Word of God. I'm not saying that will always become physical, though at times in different countries where the Word of God is held back, there might be room for that. But in our privileged situation here in Canada, where we can have the Bible and we can openly preach the Bible to people, man, they can't just hear from me. They have to hear from God through His Word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So one that is sent forth from God has to be gifted by God in the power of his message. And we should pray for that earnestly, that God would empower the message of his word to those who have their hearts hardened to that word. How hard were the people's hearts in Iconium hardened? To the point where they were planning on stoning Paul and Barnabas. I would say that's pretty hard. And what was he doing? Well, according to the scripture, he was doing those signs and wonders. That doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to accept our message. But what I do think that is missing in today's day and age is this God-given grace of empowering the message that we preach. Are we earnestly praying? And this is where I'm failing, and I think that our church may be failing, okay? In the power of prayer concerning the preaching of God's word. And I don't know what that looks like. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit shows me what that looks like. Everybody understand this? But there should be some prayer warriors within the church that I can call and say to you, I need you to pray for this specific person. And I need to know that you're not going to gossip about this situation, but you're going to use the gift of prayer so that my sending forth and being an ambassador of God, all Christians are an ambassador, I'm saying in a special sense in my preaching capability, and where people may open up to me more because of my position as the pastor, I need to know that I can trust some people, not to use it to better themselves, but to use it in a way that they're falling on their knees saying, give Pastor James wisdom and power in the message that he's preaching. Give so-and-so power in the message that they're preaching to the person that God has brought in their life. Because without that, we have nothing. It's all about glorifying Christ through our message. How else do we see this? Well, in Lystra, their miracle was to produce an awareness of the supernatural power. And as soon as that supernatural power was given, they pointed directly to Christ, not to self. How many times have I heard pastors talk and talk and talk and talk about how much God's used them and how many people they got saved? And by the end, you're like, wow, I know a lot about you, but I know very little about Christ right now. Have you ever felt that way? That's in our independent Baptist movement right now. Proclaiming and saying, well, you know, as many people were saved, and that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to preach Christ. And may I say, there are some talented people that God graciously uses. But those people, if they were wise, would give all the glory to God and make little bit about themselves instead of writing great books of how you can build great ministries. Our position and empowerment of preaching and being ambassadors of Christ is for God's glory. So when the supernatural work comes through us, what is the means by which, or the person we should point to? Well, we should point to Christ and him crucified. Acts 14:9 through 20, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly behold him and perceived that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw that Paul had done what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying in a speech of Lycaonia, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter which was before their city, brought oxen and garland unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sir, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passion with you." Reminds me of the verse that tells us, and I'm forgetting the address right now. I used to know the address. Can't believe I forgot the address of the verse. But basically, it was talking about Elias, who was a man with like passions as you, but he earnestly prayed that it wouldn't rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So he preached, and what is this? "Sirs, I'm like passion with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past has suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruit-filled seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he be dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." So you know what Paul didn't get out of all these supernatural wonders? His own private jet. He didn't say, "I'm an apostle, send me 99, 95, and I'll pray over you and blessing will fall upon you." You know what he got? He got stoned. Romans 16:17 says, "Salute Andrewson and," man, these names, "Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen." Sometimes I just feel like having my phone up here and playing Alexander Scorby. He'd say these names perfectly for us. "And my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who were in Christ before me." Now, there's some disagreement about what this could mean. It could mean being well thought of, distinguished, or it could be placed on the same place as the apostles. I go with the figurative sense as distinguished. So these men were distinguished and they were well thought of by the apostles. Why were they well thought of by the apostles? Well, because they were unified with the apostles. They were unified to the point that they went through persecution with the apostles. They were fellow prisoners. So the spirit of an apostle, the spirit that apostle associates itself with, is any time that God does his work, God gets the glory. And in many times, when they preach in the power of the Holy Spirit, people reject and they're persecuted. You know what else? They also are fellow in unity with people that are persecuted. They're fellow laborers, they're fellow prisoners. They go through the persecution of the people of God together. Finally, they're proclaimers of the glory of Christ. 2 Corinthians 8:23. "Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren, be inquired of, they are the messengers of the church." You know what messengers means? It's the same word translated in the Greek, apostle. They're the apostles of the church and the glory of Christ. They are ambassadors, the sent forth ones. Finally, we have to beware of false professions of apostles, because some are sent by Satan. Those that claim to be apostles, you can't just trust them, because many are apostles, messengers, ambassadors for Satan himself. 2 Corinthians 11:12 through 15. But what I do and I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that whereby they glory they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing for his ministers also to be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In this chapter, Paul is defending his apostleship. He's defending his message. He's defending his ambassadorship to Jesus Christ. And there's some that's saying, he's not true, we're true. So William MacDonald explains 2 Corinthians 11:12 in this sense. It seems clear that the Judaizers expected, demanded, and received money from the Corinthians. Like most cultists, they would have not have served unless it paid them financially. By the way, you know why I don't look at giving records? Because I don't want that to affect my service to the people of Bethel Baptist Church. I never want money to be the reasons why I won't help somebody. That is not a godly trait. Now, if God has given to you, you should be excited to give to him. Amen? But that's not going to affect me and my relationship with you. That will affect you and your relationship with God. There's always a fear when I preach that way because the church pays me. Well, Pastor James doesn't care if I give or not. Let God take care of that, right? Paul was determined to continue his policy of not receiving money from the believers in Corinth. If the false teacher wanted to engage in a boasting match with him, let them follow his policy. But he knew they would never be able to boast of serving without monetary reward. Thus he cut out this ground of boasting from under them. Paul's real estimation of these men pent up so far in the letter at last burst forth. He can contain himself no longer. He must call them what they are. Such are false apostles in the sense that they never were commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. They either assumed the office themselves or had it confirmed on them by other men. They are deceitful workers, and this describes the method by which they went about from church to church seeking to gain adherence to false teaching, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. They pretended to represent him. Paul has no desire to be on the same level as such men. 100% or close to 100% of the TV evangelists of today are false apostles sent forth by Satan to confuse people to the message of God. Please don't get caught up in TV evangelists. They're not speaking the truth. Why? Because they love their money. They love their private jets. They go into ministry for the service of money, not for the service of people. Right? Let God take the message and the teaching tonight and use it where he will in your lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, and we just pray that you would use it in a great and mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.